This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details. A badge of friendship on FUBAR Radio.
Badge of Friendship on FUBAR Radio. I'm Claire Lim.
I am Paul McCallum.
And I'm Ed Williams.
That was the excellent Bad Wave with Runaway. They are from LA and I just found out about them recently. They're very good indeed. So yeah, we start off the show quite well. Tonight we are going to be chatting.
Yeah. We started the show quite well.
It's not my fault. Listen. The microphone's creaky. We're going to be talking tonight about January releases. Right, I'm going to start again.
A badge of friendship on FUBAR Radio.
Hey everyone, it's Claire Lim. It's a badge of friendship, and
I'm Paul McCallum.
And I'm Ed McCallum.
Oh, start again. Actually, come on, we need to get this right.
A badge of friendship on FUBAR Radio.
It's a badge of friendship on FUBAR Radio. I'm Claire Lim.
I'm Paul McCallum.
And I'm Ed Williams.
We're not going to do that anymore. No. I think we'll just leave it there.
We could keep doing that for ages.
We could just do that for the next time.
Oh, it's hot in here. I'm taking off my cardigan.
It is actually quite warm.
That's because the aircon's off.
I'm very warm. Anyway, that's not something that people need to know.
Office admin.
So yes, welcome back to A Badge of Friendship, episode 41.
Wow, we missed episode 40 last week then.
Yeah, I didn't say it was episode 40 last week. Yeah, we just kind of
too busy
it.
Talking to the lovely Joe Kendall and Polly Glass.
Oh, that's very smooth.
That's very smooth.
It's only taken us 41 episodes to do smooth sort of segues or whatever.
And this is going to be our last one ever.
Seriously, I want to find who told you segue and just grind them into a pulp.
Segue? Is that what Claire said again?
Why was it segue?
It's segue.
Sorry.
Segue is the thing that you write.
No, that's a segue
What's a segue?
There's no D in it.
What's a segue?
It's a...
I don't know why I said...
it's not a word.
It's not a thing. Not a thing.
So what's segue? Why am I saying segue?
I don't know. It's slightly French looking.
I have no idea. Anyway.
Oh, segue.
segue. So tonight we are going to be chatting about January releases, firstly, and then we're going to be ending the show with a bit of a Burns Night special.
That was quick. Sorry, we started from the beginning of the show, and then at the end of the show, and then everything in the middle, it's a surprise.
Well, the middle bit is going to be Michael from Nazca Lines.
Nice.
Joining us on the phone, because his album, Infinite Summer, was released last week.
Nice.
And it's very good indeed. And the vinyl is amazing, by the way. I know you like a vinyl.
I do like a vinyl.
It's absolutely beautiful. Nice orange vinyl. I do like an orange vinyl.
But seriously though, can we turn the air conditioner on? Because I am sweating fucking bullets.
I'll do it at next juncture.
Do.
Ed's actually misting over here. You're actually misting. Now you're getting your bead on.
Yeah, I am getting my bead on.
So we're going to be talking about January releases. Michael Lovett from Nazca Lines will be joining us on the phone to talk about his album Infant Summer. Then we'll be speaking to Andrew Trent, friend of the show. Andrew Trent,
friend of the show.
What the hell is that outside?
It's a motorbike.
It is a motorbike.
It's like it's a good thing the mics are so powerful.
Listeners, if you can guess what model of motorbike that was driving past FUBAR Radio Studios,
you win a vial of Ed's sweat.
You do.
Yes.
Autographed by my very own self.
Yes.
That sounds like a prize and a half.
Oh, yes.
Sorry, I'd love you dearly, but don't want to value your sweat.
Neither do I.
Andrew Chendall, friend of the show, will be joining us sort of later on, around about 7:30. He will be talking about his favourite January release, since he is Mr. Gigwise. And he's always out and about, and he knows about all the latest up-and-coming bands.
He is literally paid to do that.
Yeah, that is literally his job. Literally his job. I don't know why I became French there.
You were French.
I don't know what I was. That is hot, and I'm getting a bit delirious. Paul, if people want to get in touch...
Yes.
Paul, hi.
Hi.
Hi, Paul.
Hi, Claire.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah.
If people want to get in touch, Paul, where do they email and tweet?
They can email, I think it's aboff@fubarradio.com.
Fubarradio.com.
They can also get in touch via the Twitter, which is @FubarRadio.
Yep.
Or @ABOF, which is A Badge Friendship.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And they can also get each one of us if they really, really want to.
Yes.
Which is where, Ed, for you?
I am Beaverman for all your personal consultations.
Lim.
I'm Wee Claire.
And I am Sir Beardy Pants. So you have a plethora of outlets.
Or an array.
An array or a host.
Okay.
Plethora works now.
It's common usage now, so yes, plethora technically works.
But it's grammar time with Ed Williams.
There aren't too many ways to get in contact with us, so technically it's not a plethora.
We're going to be asking the Twitterverse a question tonight, a very simple question. What have been your favourite January releases so far? And there have been many. so far. So tweet or email us, aboff@foobarradio.com, like what Paul said. Like what Paul said.
What Paul said. Hey up, lad.
Hey up, like what Paul said. So yeah, please email us, tweet us, let us know about your favourite January releases. We will be talking about ours later in the show as well. But now I'm going to be playing, well, one of my favourite albums this month was released by Shearwater. I'll speak about them later on. But this is a track from that album, Jet Plane and Oxbow. It's called Quiet Americans. Here it is.
I can't help it if all the world is ending, all the life is gone. Why are you calling out this name?
Was Shearwater with Quiet Americans. That was very good.
That was very good.
Were you laughing at? Laughing, are you laughing at Ed's beef?
No. I was not Ed's beef. I'm just laughing at you. Just before it comes. 3 seconds. 3 seconds. Everyone. 3 seconds. We have 3 seconds.
3 seconds. Oh my god. Oh my god. Anyway, that was Shearwater with Quiet American. We'll be speaking about that band and that album later on in the show. Coming up now, we've got music news.
Music news.
Yes, thank you. Thanks, Ed. Now, it was a bit thin on the ground when I was doing the running order over the weekend. I'm sure there's been more music news since today, but it's Bowie crazy.
Well, yeah.
basically. Because
it will be.
Yeah, it will be for the next wee while. And next month, all the monthlies come out.
Yeah.
I wonder who's going to be in the front cover of every single music monthly.
We'll get to relive the pain all over again.
So,
but there is one story here that has been just, it's not true.
So it's the Labyrinth reboot, right?
Yeah, no, the screenwriter came out and went, yeah, that's just dead. No, I own the rights to it. Nobody said.
Because it was a good few days.
It wasn't the screenwriter of Labyrinth.
Was it not?
It's the screenwriter of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh.
Who had been mooted to be the person who had been employed to write the script for the sequel to Labyrinth.
Actually, yeah, that makes sense because Terry Jones is the screenwriter. Writer for Labyrinth, isn't he? From Monty Python, I think. Yes. That would have been a better statement.
So, but having said that, I think the lady that had been apparently approached, etc., etc., basically, I think, sent out a bunch of tweets just saying that she would never try and profit from someone's death, that she would never try to redo and rewrite a perfect kids' movie that she loved when she was younger,
good.
Like Labyrinth, etc. I know. No, that's what her words. Let's not get into the do's and don'ts and the whys and the whats.
I ain't saying that. I'm just saying Labyrinth is a perfect kids' movie. That's leaving your kids alone with David Bowie and that crotch.
Yeah, totally.
And don't know if it's crotch, perfect.
And the
confusing
messages. Yeah, totally strange messages that are...
Hang on a second. Young Melissa has turned 12. Yeah, time to break out the sexual awakening video.
Totally, yeah.
I feel sexual confusion over a strange, magical, androgynous Scott.
Oh my God, it's a slow pan. What's that in his trousers? You'll see.
Yeah, totally.
So yeah, it's not happening. It bombed at the cinema, didn't it, when it first came out?
It was terrible. Well, it seems I saw it twice when it came out in the cinema when I was younger. So
second time, just to make sure you'd actually seen what you thought you'd seen.
I loved it. I was
at
the perfect age. Yeah. But I
17. You know. It's, full of the joys of spring.
I know. It's very impressionable.
Yeah.
I just assumed that, and kind of looking back, that I just thought it was a massive film. But apparently, by all accounts, it was a terrible, terrible box office film.
It happens quite a lot. Like The Dark Crystal, not massively popular at the cinema.
I love that film. That's a really strange film. It was Jim Henson again, wasn't it?
Yeah, but David Bowie was not in it. Oh, also, factoid. Actually, not a factoid, because a factoid is a fact that's not false.
Right,
that's not true. Small fact for you.
Uh-huh.
Small fact. Guess who choreographed Labyrinth, the fire dance in particular?
Who?
Gates McFadden, also known as Dr. Beverly Crusher.
No way, from Star Trek. No.
And Danny John-Jules is also one of the fire puppets.
No.
The cat
is
a dancer and a voice.
Amazing.
I know.
Oh, where did you read that?
Some internet troll somewhere spouting out info. It was just a thing that you think that. You don't picture those two people in the same room at the same time. At some point, Dr. Beverly Crusher and David Bowie were in a room together, and he's like, oh, yeah, no, so I'll just dance around with the baby.
To be fair, that's, baby. But
the baby.
The amount of times he says baby in a really weird way. That's some amazing, useless information.
Yeah, no, nobody could ever use that except inside a pub quiz.
Yeah.
So that I was writing.
Pretty much, like, we can't tweet out the what do you think about the Labyrinth remake because it's not happening. But see, also there's
they
some...
say it's not happening.
They
I've got
say.
A feeling that when because when I read the article about what she had said, it made me think that she wasn't necessarily saying she was saying that she would never remake. And then at the very bottom of the article, it did say that it was actually planned to be a sequel. And I was thinking, maybe that's, like, in a pedantic sense, she's saying, well, I would never remake Labyrinth.
So they get, like, Edward Tudor Pole to be the new Goblin
King. Tom York.
Oh,
my God.
I say that the sequel should be that the baby is now an adult and it's fucked up from the time that it's not, and it's just a dark film about his weirdness.
About a man in depression.
Yeah.
Are you saying that Donnie Darko is the sequel to Labyrinth?
Yeah, totally.
Requiem for a Dream, I think.
I reckon that I would watch that film about the baby's story thereafter, how he grew up, like what his therapy sessions are like.
Well, I'd say I'd watch it, but I'd watch Gummo, so that's not really
Gummo was hard for you.
I missed Gummo. Somebody invited me. I forgot. They bought me tickets to see Gummo when I was in Nice. And I was like, I can't see that. I'm in France. I'm disappointed I missed it.
Seemingly, coming back to music news, seemingly there are there's unreleased material that boys or boy people still have in hand. Do we care? I mean, obviously, anything now that do we care? Of course, people are going to care.
Do
but
we care? Has that ship sailed?
I just kind of feel like, you know, I think Black Star was quite a complete thing. I think we don't really need to.
But by all accounts, it was. It seems like he has. Obviously, in knowledge of what was going to happen, has seemingly somewhat prepared the next X amount of years of releases, kind of thing. By all accounts, it's going to be kind of anthology albums based in each era, but apparently they're not even going to necessarily release them in chronological order. Mm. So it could be anything from any era, starting in 2017. Onwards, kind of thing. Plus, apparently, he recorded 5 tracks in the aftermath of Black Star because maybe he thought that he had a little bit more time, and it was apparently going to be the follow up to Black Star. Mm. So he demoed like 5 songs for a new album. And they've obviously not been released as well. So there seems to be quite a lot that could possibly happen over the next few years.
He's quite a prolific songwriter. Generally, I mean, so I wouldn't put it past him, kind of thing. But yeah, like, everyone's getting so excited about all this sort of boy news. Obviously, the Labyrinth story that isn't true now, and then this. But I think, you know, let's just mourn his passing and enjoy Black Star, which we'll be talking about later. And then I don't know.
But we've dedicated the first 10 minutes of this show, and we're mentioning him again later. You can't just suddenly pull out maybe everybody should just calm down and the whole Bowie thing.
You know what it is? It's because it's like with the Star Wars thing over Christmas. Like, after a while, it's like I'm reading too. And also the this is Jane or this is Emma, and Emma is
this is
asshole.
Bill. This is Bill.
But it's such a funny leap that you made from Bowie to Star Wars to memes.
What I mean by that is sometimes you get a bit bombarded by all the stuff. Mm.
Well, it's modern life, innit?
You woke up this morning and you were like, "Oh, I hate that."
That was the first thing I started saying to you, and we literally just opened our eyes this morning, and you do the obligatory checking of email.
I
Facebook,
think
you were
saying checking
Twitter,
that I'm alive or something.
Yeah, and the first sort of when you just kind of wake up, blah blah, whatever. And I don't know, like this fucking meme thing. Like,
hence Joe Pesci.
What? Hence Joe Pesci. What?
Which I put up over the weekend.
Yeah. But then totally, putting that up is still continuing the thing.
Yeah, no, it's perpetuating.
It's perpetuating it, but at least it's not putting a meme up to take the piss out of the people that are putting memes up, which seems to be happening now.
Get in the fucking sea. I think after getting in the fucking sea, they should have just stopped.
But
now they've got these personalised ones, like, so this is
I've seen that.
This is Paul. Paul doesn't speak the kind of shite that other people do, but he does a lot of shit, and he spends a lot of shit time in the toilet. Be like Paul. We can all be like Paul. It's kind of like it's stuff that makes no sense whatsoever half the time.
Especially because you're more of a peer than a pooer. your toilet visits are usually number one base.
Yeah, every 5 minutes.
Yeah.
It's these nonsense kind of memes are coming up, and people are kind of, I don't know, like, but almost like quite passive aggressive memes as well.
Oh, no, absolutely.
Because they're essentially.
This has gone well, LBC, by the way.
My memes are so highbrow that they're taking the piss out of everybody else in my Facebook who are releasing memes. It's all very confusing.
I mean, I think everyone gets annoyed. I know what the memes are trying to say. You know, they're trying to pick out certain types of people on social media. That's fair enough. Like the ones who are overly lovey-dovey, the ones who share too much. But if you don't like that, then just log out or hide them.
Hide someone.
Racist.
Get rid of them. Tell someone rather than doing this.
I just hide people.
Whatever.
Yeah, anyway, just hide people. That's what I do.
How the hell did we get onto this from David Bowie?
I have no idea. Anyway.
It's Claire's fault.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Sorry. But yeah, just to mention as well, this is going to be our last live show. Maybe ever. But we are going to be on an 8-week break after this for something special because in the year that we've been doing the show, lots of amazing things have happened. And so we're going to come back in like April, maybe. And
let's not sugarcoat it. Frankly, guys, if you're listening, it's your fault. Like, let's not. It's not like your parents getting divorced. They say, "Oh, we love you all equally." No, we're blaming you for this. We're having to go away and actually create something fucking spectacular.
It's going to be awesome.
And it's your fault. You've driven us to it.
But yeah, there's a lot of
like Donald Trump or something. It's you're blaming the people for your own mistakes.
Indeed.
I feel like the show has given us a sort of a new opportunities, which we are exploring from April. I won't say any more. So actually, coming up next, we are going to be speaking to Nazca Lines, Michael from Nazca Lines. One of my absolute favourite acts of the last few years. He has an album called Infinite Summer out now in Memphis Industries. This track is called Two Hearts, and we'll be speaking to him right after this. Was Nazca Lines with Two Hearts. Excellent track. Very good indeed. Takes me back to my clubbing days. Doesn't really.
You didn't have clubbing days.
No, I had stoned days.
You had corduroy days.
Yeah, I had corduroy days at uni. But it was the early like millennium or whatever, where I was obsessed
noughties,
with
the early noughties.
The early millennium. I sound like
early millennium.
Early millennium. Yeah, it was the early noughties. And yeah, and then came to London and
see, I had
the
corduroy.
Pineapple.
Yeah, I had the corduroys and the clubbing. I balanced the two lives.
Oh, you did corduroys as well.
Corduroys. Yeah.
I love cords. I was thinking about cord recently. I really want to bring it back.
I was so gutted when I found out that my cords had worn through. Anyway,
poor Michael from Nazca Line is actually waiting on the phone, probably going, oh my God, what have I got myself into?
What's this cords chat? <That's>
Michael, are you there?
Yes, hello, I'm here.
Sorry, we tend to meander. Sorry.
How do you feel about corduroys?
Yeah, that's your first question is, how do you feel about cords?
Corduroys, I've not gone near them for a while, I must say. I think the last pair of cords I had probably went with a suit that I maybe bought when I was about 15.
Once bitten, twice shy.
Yeah, I mean, I can't say it's, you know, it's not for me, but it's not saying it's not for everyone.
Exactly. Well, that's a very diplomatic.
Very pragmatic, yeah.
Yeah, diplomatic. I like that. Yeah, you're not hurting our feelings as the presenters. Thank you. So, Michael from Nazca Lines, obviously that was your track, Two Hearts, we played earlier. Your album, Infinite Summer, came out last Friday, is that correct?
It is correct, yeah.
Now, it's been 4 years, I think, since your debut. It was a self-titled debut. How come it took you so long to get the second album out?
Well, you know, it's very painful process. No, it was pretty much I released the first album halfway through doing an illustration degree, and I kind of managed to juggle those things at the time, but then I wanted to finish that off. So although I was actually making music and indeed I made a video for New Atmosphere, this song I released, I made that during my degree, but it took a bit longer to pull the whole album together. And then I got offered to go and play with Metronomy, which I couldn't really turn down.
Yeah.
So I did that as well. Really that resulted in me finishing. I was very busy really. So I was just, any free time I had, I was working on the album. I ended up recording, parts of it in lots of different places whilst I was on tour. Like I even recorded kind of, vocals in different countries, and I recorded I recorded some guitar in New York, and I recorded some other vocals somewhere else, which was quite fun really. So it came together in that kind of way, and also it just took a long time to figure out the right way of doing it. We had the album mixed twice in the end because it we had to figure that out. And yeah, it was just one of those things really, but it wasn't through any kind of intentional
just
life took hold and here I am.
And it's an excellent album, and it sounds a lot more, I don't know, like I say epic, I hate the word epic, but it just sounds big, like it sounds really big. Whereas the last the debut album that you released 4 years back, it was great, but it seemed very contained, very controlled, and this one just seems very expansive. And I was reading online that you're influenced by a number of themes. I read a lot about, I think you're quite into the sort of future and sci-fi and things like that. Is that what Infinite Summer is all about?
Yeah. In short, yes. I was inspired. I've been a big kind of science fiction fan for a while. Although the stuff which I really loved is the stuff that kind of gets a bit more beneath the surface of you know what it is to be human and where we're going, and really tells us more about our present than anything particularly about the future. I think that's what I find it interesting about science fiction.
A lot of ballads.
No, I mean, but there's a fair, you know, there's a Stanislav Lem is great for that. Ballad obviously is a good one, especially his earlier stuff is really beautifully written and lots of beautiful imagery. There's a couple of films which were stuff which was turned into films by Andrei Tarkovsky, like Stalker or Roberto Picnic. And I, you know, not wanting to get too abstract with it, I really wanted to make a kind of an album with a fully fledged concept behind it, because my first album kind of had a bit of that, but I wanted to make it a bit more technicolor really, and a bit more in your face without everything. The first album was maybe a bit more vague, a bit more kind of implied, a bit more kind of a bit more poetic, but this one I really wanted to have it all up front, which is kind of why it's the sound of it became a bit more widescreen. And I approached it like a project. I kind of wrote out my story and kind of knew where I was going with it before I started doing it, which was part of the process. In terms of the whole package, I wanted it to be more direct. Like, that's why the album cover art is illustrated. It's a very kind of, I guess to some people it will definitely hark back to almost prog albums like Genesis or and that kind of stuff. But that's what I wanted really, for better or for worse. I wanted it to be clearly intentional that it was a story.
And there's quite a lot of the stuff that you've kind of released so far. It seems to that there seems to be kind of concepts running through and themes running through everything from the video releases to the artwork to the promo shots to the lyrics. Do you find that continuity between both the music and the stylistic kind of element to those kind of releases an important feature for yourself?
Yeah, very, very important. I kind of always, I always gravitated towards artists and, you know, music which has that kind of Gesamtkunstwerk or whatever aesthetic, the kind of total artwork thing of having everything relating to itself. And I was, I started off, it was when I was at college, and I was, I'm kind of have done or continue to do in some respects visual art, and I was actually making writing stories and making work about those stories, like kind of being interested in people like Georges Borges, who's a writer who writes kind of short, there's a collection of short stories which are all kind of fictitious worlds, basically. Like, it's like a, there'll be little bits of ephemera relating to a larger world. So I love the idea of kind of just picking out little bits of this bigger picture which you're, which you're kind of allowing somebody into a larger world which you're creating. So I initially did that through visual bits, and for the first album I liked the idea of translating that then into music, and then from then the natural point was just taking that into every aspect of it. I mean, I'm a big fan of Daft Punk's Interstellar 455, I think, which is a which I actually hadn't heard about until relatively recently. I mean, a few years back, it was inspiration for this album in many ways, because it's a full-length anime film featuring the music from their very famous album, Discovery. And I think one of them ended up being a music video for one of the songs. It's a full thing, and it really puts a whole story behind all this music. That even lots of the music of that album isn't necessarily narrative-driven. It's some of it instrumental, like lots of it instrumental. But it really puts it in a context, and I like the way that, I love the way that you can just context means everything, really, you know, the giving us, like, there's this a Detroit techno duo called Drexia who are amazing and a big influence on the kind of theme and approach of both records, really, in a way, who all their music is instrumental, but it's all based around a mythology, and all the title, the track titles, everything's so evocative, it really puts you in that place without even the lyrics having to be overtly about it. And I think in terms of my record, I mean, I don't know this point, what do you guys think, but it's, you know, there's no, the lyrics aren't directly about you know, I'm not singing about docking at the, you know, the space station or refueling my carbon emitter or something.
Oh,
you know,
that would be quite awesome.
I think you say it would be awesome, but actually it would be awesome.
Yeah, it could go one of two ways.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I went for the thinking it could be awful ways, but it was difficult trying to kind of it's a bit at odds there, and I think maybe in some capacity then it makes it feel like maybe it isn't a concept album, because lots of the songs maybe relate to more personal matters, but I feel like they all take place within, it's almost like for me I relate to the songs, and the songs themselves are placed within the universe of the album, mm-hmm. and they kind of relate to characters in this science fiction universe. I guess that's my own slant on it.
And as a result of kind of those kind of themes that kind of run through, I've noticed that you've started to start doing, you know, directing and writing your music videos, and certainly last couple of years, it's something that you've started to kind of take a hand in. Is that something that's kind of maybe you see as another avenue, or is it just something that interested you, and because you obviously know the themes and concepts of what you're trying to kind of emote, that you wanted to kind of try your hand at mm-hmm. doing the video for some tracks as well?
I think in you're kind of right, both points are true. I mean, I think it's something which I'm really interested in doing, but so far I've only ever done it for my own thing, and I think that makes a lot of sense, because yeah, I kind of know what I want to deliver with it. It only really, the video I did for the New Hemisphere was very much under my direction. I made lots of stuff for it, and kind of, you know, produced it, and it was a lot of work. It took like a year pretty much on and off, and it was mm-hmm. whilst I was doing this degree, so I had the luxury of that time. Mm-hmm. So since then it's very hard to kind of find the time to do both things, because really a lot of focus needs to be put on making sure the music's good, you know, that's the main thing. Well, at least that's where the starting point is, sure. for all of it. So I currently almost feel like I'm taking the role of kind of a director in the broader sense, like, mm-hmm. For instance, the artwork for the album, I didn't do that myself, but I had a long, you know, I built up a huge library of references, which I shared with the illustrator, Christopher Blaskis, who ended up doing it, and he totally got what I wanted, but there was a lot of back and forth devising what it actually would be, kind of thing. So, sure. you know, I guess that's more the involvement I find myself with at the moment, yeah. Although I do love being directly involved in making that stuff as well.
Now, you are now a three-piece, because before it was just you, and now you've got Sarah Jones and Charlotte Hatherley, and some people recognise these names. Sarah works with Hot Chip, and you've got Charlotte, ex-Ash, and Batful Ashes. How is it now being a three-piece? How has that changed the way that Nazca Lines operates?
It always has been and remains to be my kind of yeah. solo thing, in a sense that it's I made this album with Charlie Alex March as well, who produced both records. We kind of made it played most things myself, apart from Sarah playing the drums on one of a few tracks, which was amazing, and really started to transform the sound. Then she actually sings on almost all the album. Mm-hmm. Charlotte kind of came slightly later, so she's almost her involvement more with the live side. So mm-hmm. I feel right now starting to play with them was just so transformative in terms of me playing the songs. For the first time, I was even playing older songs with. They're such amazing musicians that it really just kind of brought everything to life for me, and that Excellent. Was really, really exciting. So the same thing was true of the songs off this album, and I hope that it's more a case of taking it forward. So I'd like to record with them and really not just have it starting with me doodling around with something on my own. It's been amazing having them starting to get involved, and I hope it's just the beginning of something longer, really.
I wanted to ask, because I love sci-fi as well, I think we're all sci-fi fans here, and there are tracks that have got a real filmic quality to them, like Persephone Dreams, and that video is incredible as well. What if you could choose a film, like any film from any time, sci-fi film, to go back and redo the soundtrack for, what would it be?
Oh, wow.
I know it's a really hard question, but I just thought I'll ask you anyway and like see what you think, because obviously there's so many iconic kind of like sci-fi, like Blade Runner's got such a feel to it, but if you had wanted to have a go at one of them, which would you think that you would maybe have a little stab at?
It's a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy, really. I mean, I think obviously Blade, those same films have influenced the way that the music which I've made a lot in terms of sound. I guess a film which I can't really remember hearing the soundtrack, I can't really remember the soundtrack for, which I really liked as a film, so I don't feel like it would be too blasphemous to say, would probably be THX 1138.
Oh, nice. Good choice.
Which is really great, but, and I can't remember what the music was. I'm sure it's good, but it doesn't spring to mind, so I would say that one.
Maybe I could approach it with interesting. Good choice. Anyway, we're running out of time here, but the album's out now, obviously, and it's out in vinyl as well, is that correct?
It is, yeah, lovely orange vinyl.
Yes, I was selling that earlier to Ed, who's a big vinyl fan here. If people want to go buy it, where can they go check it out?
They can buy it through, I've got links on our website, which is nzca-lines.com, if you want to find that, or it's available from Rough Trade, from Reflex Records, they're based in Newcastle, it's available from loads of record shops, if you want to go out and buy it physically, or yeah, you can also buy it on iTunes, you can buy it digitally, there's loads of places you can get it, but I would recommend the physical item if you do like that kind of stuff, because it's you're basically getting four lovely high quality prints as well, which is I think is quite nice. I mean, in terms of the artwork, you don't get the prints, well, that would be very generous, but the artwork, you know, is there physically.
Excellent.
Sort of false advertised.
Well, if you also, for those listening, if you want to follow Michael online, it's NZCA Lines. That's the Twitter, it's Nazca Lines. We're going to play another track for now, because we have played the singles already, so we're just going to play an album track. This is Chemicals, obvious. Michael, thank you so much for joining us. It was really lovely. And next time you're about, if when we come back and if we're doing any more live shows, then we would love to have you in the studio some point in the future.
Thank you very much. I'd love to come in. Thanks, Claire.
Excellent. No probs. Well, this is Naz Collins with Chemicals Off. Yes, more after this. Badge of Friendship on FUBAR Radio. I'm Claire Lim.
I'm Paul McCallum.
And I'm Ed Williams.
Excuse me.
And I'm Ed Williams.
And that was Naz Collins with Chemicals Obvious. That's another track from the album. And Ed, you informed us that the vinyl is now sold out online.
Yeah, it's sold out on his website. I couldn't get the CD on Amazon. I have managed to wangle the vinyl though, but I'm waiting for it to get reprinted. It's a 2-week wait.
So not bad start.
Not bad at all.
Not bad at all. Well done, son. Well done. Now we're going to be speaking about January albums. And Ed, what have you been listening to this one?
Pretty much David Bowie's Black Star on repeat and having a little cry to myself.
It is good.
It is really good. It's so much better than I thought it was going to be. Even before he died, it was just like, oh, the tracks I'd heard of it were just like, oh, this might be quite good. And then just listening to it again, it's just like, oh, he knew.
Yeah. It does take on a different meaning.
Completely.
I hadn't listened to Lazarus until I got the whole album, but I downloaded Black Star, the title track, 10-minute epic. I actually played it in the office to Ellie, and Ellie said it sounded like something from the Mighty Boosh. That was before he passed
away. You're having a fucking word with Ellie.
Poor Ellie, we love you, Ellie. But she did say it sounds like, it's a little bit like the Mighty Boosh. It's like, it's David Bowie. Anyway, Ed, talk about the album a little bit. Obviously, this is his last album.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's obviously a swan song. I mean, there are so many references to his earlier work. I mean, he really captures his spirituality. I mean, everybody knows that he was a bit of a Crowley nut. Mm-hmm. I mean, anyone who owns a copy of Hunky Dory cannot be immune to that fact. The man had a little bit of an obsession with Victorian devilry.
Dark arts.
Did love a bit of the dark arts. So I think my old flatmate Kia put it really well when he saw the video for Lazarus. He's thinking, why is Bowie all into his Crowley imagery again? And then when he died, he was like, he was preparing himself for death.
But I was reading something online, and I'm not going to say it as poetically as this writer said, but he turned his death into art.
Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, that's what he did with everything, though. I mean, he even turned his foray into drum and bass into art. I mean, as terrible as people thought those albums were at the time, except for the odd music reviewer here and there, if you listen back to it, it's absolutely amazing that somebody like David Bowie would be getting involved in a scene that was it was small. I mean, it was big, but it was small when you put it into perspective of against Bowie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the man who decided to do a cover of Dancing in the Street with Mick Jagger because it'd be a bit of a laugh.
Oh my God. And let's just not forget, what is it, Little Drummer Boy or whatever?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I think that's what's great. I think what's great about this album is it's actually made me revisit a lot of the old interviews with Bowie. And I think there's a interview which he did in German TV, which was quite a while ago. I mean, not long enough that DVDs didn't exist, so it would probably be the early noughties. And I think what came across in every single video interview I've seen with him is just how much of a normal guy David Bowie was.
Yeah,
like, he had to go and he wasn't allowed to watch his avant-garde DVDs in the living room. He had to basically do it by himself. So his wife would be like, oh, David, really? I mean, kids want to watch Toy Story. So he has to go take his 19-hour epic Norwegian subtitled thing about a man fishing in the ice.
I kind of like that about true artists, though, that, you know, generally down to earth.
Yep.
Absolutely fine, normal, but they just pour it all into what they're doing, whether it be art, music, film. But you don't have to be like an avant-garde wanker outside of that. It's like, no, that I am man or woman doing thing, and that's the thing.
Well,
and
he came across as a perfectly nice individual, genuinely quite funny, articulate, intelligent, seemed up for a laugh.
Yeah.
It's been shared over the last 2 weeks with the Ricky Gervais thing that he did, and people almost seem surprised by that. And it's like, well,
the thing is, it's because Bowie's, you never really think of Bowie as a man. You think of him as, well, he's David fucking Bowie. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's this huge thing. He's like the anti-Madonna, where David Bowie would be on trend 3 months before it happened, as opposed to Madonna, who's sucking the life out of something 3 months after it's happened. He'd be there right at the forefront of the scene, and he was always somebody who was like trying to push other people forward. It wasn't just good enough for him to be at the forefront. He'd be like scooping up all these other people. I mean, it's arguable, there could be an argument to say that krautrock gained a certain popularity because David Bowie decided to live in Berlin, create three amazing krautrock albums, which basically caused a load of people to look into bands like Can. So he's kind of like a guy who's always there at the perfect time, and instead of capitalizing on it, he decided to bring people up with them,
and kind of leave it there and say, off you pop.
It's like, have a look at this. This is what I've been listening to. This is what I've made because of it. Listen to this.
That's how it should be, though, like sharing art and exposing new things. And And although he was 69 when he passed away,
yep.
clearly still experimenting with sounds and lyrics and imagery, maybe, you know, from things that he absolutely loves and he's always loved and he's made no bones about it, but kind of like rebranding it and refreshing it and controlling that part of his life, which is uncontrollable, death, which yep. I think is very clever. But I kind of just feel sorry for the bands that had albums planned in January because...
Yeah, sorry, guys.
Sorry about that. You ain't going to get... Because it's charted, it's first number yeah. one.
Yeah, in the US.
Yeah, I can't believe that.
To be fair, I mean, if you were deciding to release something in January, then sack your fucking manager. Who the fuck releases something in January?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Well,
yeah,
we'll find out when we have the next section of the show.
Well, Ed, I agree with
nobody
you.
Nobody works to full to full capacity on January or in the build-up. You're wasting 3 months of your PR fee.
Well, I don't know, Ed. There's some hefty releases.
At the very least, you're wasting a month.
Yeah, the very least. It's basically, you've got 3 weeks where nothing's happening.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to play... We've played Black Star before.
Not in the industry anymore. It doesn't matter.
We actually played Black Star.
Yes, we have.
Like before Christmas, I think it was. So we're going to play Lazarus.
Good.
If you haven't seen the video and you're curious, please go watch the video. It takes on a different meaning, I think, when we know what's happening. But here is David Bowie's Lazarus from the Black Star album. Here it is.
Badge of Friendship on FUBAR Radio.
It's a Badge of Friendship on FUBAR Radio. I'm Claire Lim.
I'm Paul McCallum.
And I'm Ed Williams.
So, we are talking about January albums, so we're going to bring off a step because we're talking about Black Star, and it's sad that Bowie's gone, but let's move on to new bands, or newer bands, or bands with new releases. Now, Ed, you said that nothing big should be released in January, is it?
Not really. I mean, I quite like Savage's new album.
Right, okay. So, there's that. See, that's released in January?
Yes, it is.
So, I love the new Shearwater album, mm-hmm. and I'm really new to them, so I can't really tell you much about their other releases, sadly.
No.
Because I
funny there was some period in time where you could have researched it.
No, I did. I did go back to Spotify and I had a quick listen, but
wow.
But
is
no,
that you went to the internet? That's research. Went to Spotify, read their biog, didn't have enough facts for me. Yes. Claire, boo indeed.
Yeah, imagine in modern times going to the internet for research. It's still coming up going,
there's not enough here.
It's the fact you went on the internet. It's like, what do you expect?
Yeah.
Like, carrier pigeon.
Why weren't you down at the pop library?
I'm going to high library in Wandsworth run by 70-year-old woman. Do you have anything on Shearwater? No. No, she doesn't, Ed. No, she doesn't.
Did you ask?
No, I didn't ask. It would be amazing if they did have. But what I mean by that is, with Shearwater, I've heard of them, but I just never got around to listening to any of the songs. They've released Jetplane and Oxbow on Sub Pop, and we have talked about Sub Pop ad nauseum.
We have indeed.
Mm.
We love a bit of Sub Pop here. I really, really like this album. I'm not going to read my notes. I'm just going to tell you how much I love the album. I think if you start with the track Quiet Americans, which is what we played earlier, and sometimes I like doing that with albums and then kind of branching out from there. I don't like listening to it in chronological order.
What?
I like to start with something that I'm obsessed with and then go, okay, now second obsessive track, then third, then I'll go back. And
you're the reason music is broken.
Hey, I bought the album. I buy albums.
I know, you bought the album, but now you're listening to it all higgledy-piggledy.
I don't know, I kind of just like to get a flavour and I like to get inside that music and that feel, and then I start to kind of live in it a little bit, if you know what I mean. I did that with Nazca Lines, and now I'm going, right, everything in order, and I'm listening to it in order again and again. But they only signed to Sub Pop in 2012. They've actually released crap loads of albums, like 8.
Oh my god, Sub Pop are a late signing. That hardly ever happens.
So they've taken them on in 2012 with Animal Joy. That was the first album they released in Sub Pop. Basically they've opened for Sharon Van Etten because he's been involved with her writing music or playing with her. It's 12 tracks, this album. It's absolutely incredible. I played it in the office last week, but it was just me and Ellie and she went quiet, so I don't think she was
not a fan.
She played me the Arctic Monkeys to try and get me into it, and I'm sorry, I just missed the Arctic Monkeys.
Which Arctic Monkeys did she play?
She played the most recent one.
No,
but she's young and she's a
loves
fan.
It, yeah,
no,
so, yeah.
No, she's got a crush on the lead singer though. You none of you know who this person is, so this is pointless.
Poor Ellie.
Sorry, Ellie.
So sorry. We love you, Ellie. We absolutely love you, but
they're young. They don't listen to this show, guys.
Yeah, so they're out doing things, but yeah, she.
Ellie definitely is. She called in sick.
Yeah,
exactly.
Before tomorrow. I might be ill tomorrow.
I've got a bit of a sore throat coming on.
It's a text message. How are you doing that?
But yeah, I love them. And we have played them already. But we're going to be playing Tortoise next as well, Paul. What are you thinking about Tortoise?
I really like it, as it's the album that I've chosen for January, but it's their new album. It's called The Catastrophist.
And Joe Kendall last week, we actually played this track last week.
Is this the same track?
Yeah, but it was so good we
but
have to play again.
You put Now Playing Puma Rosa Priestess.
Yeah, that was an admin mistake.
Ah, okay.
So sorry.
I'm surprised you didn't choose another track, but I think the Tortoise album is really good. I'm really into it. People who haven't heard of the band probably should have, if you haven't already. They've been around for at least, I think they've been around for like 20, 25 years.
Shit, that long.
So if you haven't, then you clearly have not heard music. But their new album came out, it was their seventh release, came out on Friday via Thrill Jockey.
Another great label.
Amazing.
How long have they been around?
Around about maybe 25 years.
25 years, 7 albums. That's quite a lot. That's quite a lot of space in between albums. You could be forgiven for not having heard of them.
Yeah, no, they're not really banging them out, shall we say.
And they're a post-rock band, so I can imagine they take their time with each piece kind of thing.
I think the interesting fact about this album, although it definitely has the kind of unique Tortoise sound, is certainly the fact that they were basically commissioned before they did this album by the city of Chicago to work with a bunch of jazz musicians from the famous Chicago jazz scene to basically put something together. And out of that came a bunch of these tracks where Tortoise essentially rearranged some of them slightly so it had the Tortoise sound. But basically that was where this came out of, and you do have that. It certainly has that sound that it almost infuses elements of jazz, elements of just kind of general indie, electro, post rock. It's quite all over the place, as you would expect from a band like Tortoise. But it's a really good record. I do like it. I wouldn't necessarily say it's one of their best, but if you haven't heard the band before, then it'd be worth checking out.
Good starting point, then.
Yeah, absolutely. There's some great tracks on there. And what the hell was that?
That was my creaking chair. I've got creaking. This is the creaking area of the studio. Creaking chair, creaking mic. See, and. Anyway,
cool.
Sorry,
but yeah. So they've this load, and as usual, Tortoise, knowing a bunch of people in the scene, have a lot of people on their guest singing or having guest appearances on certain tracks and all that kind of stuff. And they did a cover of Rock On by David Essex.
Nice.
On there.
So good.
And that's with actually the singer from US Maple, who's doing the guest vocals on it. And also they've had Georgia Hubley from Yola Tengo as guest vocals on the Yonder Blue song that's on the record. So there's a whole bunch of kind of classic, interesting singers and artists on there.
Kind of avant indie extravaganza, I think.
It's a good. I think this song's a good kind of jumping off point for people. And if you like your post rock, and if you like interesting music that's slightly all over the place, very jazzy. And funky at points, then I think this would be a band to check out. If you like singing and vocals and all that kind of stuff.
And verse chorus.
Yeah, then I wouldn't say that this is for you. But, you know, they're an iconic band, very interesting band, and it's just good to hear some new stuff from them.
Yeah, I think they're great. Like, really, really like this. In fact, like, considering January's meant to be a quiet month, actually, loads of releases. The Besnard Lakes as well have been about for ages. They released an album. Daughter released an album as well. And
they've already released an album this year?
Yeah, they released a new album.
Ah, right.
Yeah, like Daughter. I was almost going to play a track, but I just didn't make the cut, unfortunately. But Daughter's album sounds fine. That sounds like a good one as well. I've just sort of started listening to that last week. And Panic at the Disco.
Wow,
randomly.
Really?
Yeah, they released an album
as well.
I saw
that this morning on my Twitter feed or something came up that they've got latest number one in America or something like that.
But seemingly the PR for the UK PR anyway for Panic at the Disco didn't release any promos of it. They just didn't even give they just kind of went right there you go as it was released kind of thing. So,
and it's number one in America. So there you go.
When you're that size,
you don't even need reviews.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, I don't even have a clue what Panic at the Disco sound like nowadays, to be honest with you.
I reckon they sound much like Panic at the Disco sounded back then.
But were they not all kind of like faux burlesque emo art rock or something? It was like,
well, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm sure.
I'm not sure if that.
I don't think they sound
like
that. They
seem to have a slightly different sound now.
Because he's like,
really?
You know, in his late 20s now and he's grown up.
I mean,
stuff.
To be fair, look at Blur.
I did not. I'm sorry, that Blur album last year.
They sound exact. That fucking Blur album was fucking terrible. I'm sorry, I'm standing up and saying it.
It's
shame
awful.
On you guys.
You're already awful. Standing up.
Shame on you. I'm not.
Oh, yeah, no,
you're not. Now I stood up. Now I'm stood up. Shame on you guys for trying to make a Blur album that sounded like a Blur album. Jesus Christ, what a pile of. Pish, I'm glad I didn't buy it.
Whatever next, if Oasis to release an album, they
at least Oasis are
like
fucking consistent.
Album.
Good album, shit album, shit album, shit album.
Done.
Questionable solo careers, funny banter in the press.
Yeah,
funny
reunion.
It's pretty much summed up.
You've charted basically Oasis's career path. And Suede? Release an album?
Suede aren't actually that bad. The thing is, they've released a new album.
Have you heard it yet?
No, I haven't. But what I'm confused about is that it's a comeback.
I think it's Boy.
What I'm confused about is it's a comeback. They released a comeback album a couple of years ago as well. So it's almost like they're going, hey guys, we're back. Nobody cares. Okay, hold on.
Not quite the right time.
Hey guys, we're back. Yeah. I'm Brett. And I got all the tunes.
apart by all accounts, it's meant to be very good.
I imagine Suede, talented guys.
I've never been that much into Suede. I get it, but I just never really liked them that much the first time around.
I reckon his animal magnetism would have confused you as a young girl, which is probably why you didn't gravitate towards the music.
I like Manson and Supergrass. I honestly did like Manson and Supergrass. Those were the two, and Mannix. The three bands that I really loved, but I had friends who love Suede, they love, and then the Blur and Oasis thing, and then there was the odd Elastica and Sleeper fan.
Don't actually mind Elastica. Really fancied Louise Winner from Sleeper.
Of course you did. She's an author now, I think.
I went to school with her. I went to, no, college with David Margolis, who is her nephew.
Because she was in Shooting Stars a few months ago.
A few months ago. A repeat.
Then we went on Google and we're like, oh, God, she's like an author now.
What's weird about that is that Ross and Stuart ran my house for a sleepover during that episode of Shooting Stars. I can remember the first time it aired. We were like kids, like proper like 12, 13-year-olds when that was on television.
I'm just imagining having a sleepover now. For some reason, I can't get that out of my head.
It's not a sleepover now. It's called a party when that happens now. If two friends come over and they fall asleep at your house, that's called a night.
Yeah, we're having a night. But I'm imagining kind of like, you know, pyjamas and stuff. I don't know why. I just imagine you're all huddled up watching TV.
A little bit. I feel a little bit objectified there, Claire.
Objectified.
Picture me in my pyjamas.
A picture of
you. Who is the there's another band around by that time, Republica?
Yeah.
Oh man,
I think they might be back as well.
Really? With their song?
Yeah, with
Saffron. Saffron
Burrows? Saffron Burrows, yes. No. Saffron Burrows is the woman from
Wild Deep Orchids.
and Deep Blue Sea.
Oh yeah, yeah. Deep Blue Sea. Yeah.
What kind of film was Wild Orchids, Paul?
It was a Channel 5 film.
It was a highbrow Mickey Rourke film in his boxing days.
Yeah.
When he had the handsome.
It was
face.
A Hairy Bob and Manass film.
Yeah, Hairy Bob.
With Jacqueline Bisset as well.
Right. Oh, exciting.
Yeah. That's a good pairing. Those are both very striking women.
Yeah, I think she was maybe the daughter. But maybe not. I don't know. Maybe making it up. That would make sense to me, though. But
back then, like, you had, you know, when you say Channel 5, it was like, okay, I know what you mean. But now kids just go on the internet for weird things.
Yeah, it isn't even weird. I mean, it's strange as well because she's got a wife, Saffron Burrows. Yeah, she was involved in all this. It's just, you know, you would.
Right.
That's all I'm saying. You would.
Having said that, that leads randomly into the next track, which is Tortoise with The Catastrophist. We'll be speaking to Andrew Trendle from Gigwise right after this.
Thank you.
cracking tune.
Cracking tune.
I have actually just bought the album and the strength of that.
That was so Tortoise.
Shut up, Ricky.
That was pure Tortoise.
Basically, during the track, it started, then it went into this weird post-rock bit, and I went, ooh, that's pure Tortoise, and they burst out laughing.
It was just a strange thing to hear somebody say.
But it was pure Tortoise.
It's not something you hear often.
No, it isn't.
Anyway, and then we started talking about potato salad.
Actually, the difference, potato salad and tuna melt.
Yeah, I would take a tuna melt.
I would take tuna melt as well, but my argument was if there's no onions in it, either spring or red or otherwise, it's not a potato salad, it's just some potatoes with mayonnaise in it. Ditto the tuna melt.
Well, let's ask Andrew Trendle from Gigwise what he thinks. Andrew, are you on the line?
I am.
What do you think, potato salad or tuna melt?
I think a potato salad, like a fruit salad and any other kind of salad, is just potatoes cut small with the combination of other things, right?
Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, is there mayonnaise and onions in that?
You don't need onions.
Oh. What? No!
Oh, no!
No! Wrong!
Lidl and Aldi do a really good potato salad that's just potatoes and creme fraiche. Try it. Incredible.
Oh, that sounds nice.
I would argue to the death.
Other budget supermarkets are available, but try it.
As nice as that, I'm sure it tastes amazing. I would argue it's not potato salad, though.
So we're now, kind of shouting out about Lidl and all these potato salads. Sponsor us.
Totally. Do.
We're now getting down to semantics to do with potato salad.
Sorry, Andrew of Gigwise. So yes, Andrew Trendle of Gigwise is on the phone with us because we are talking about January releases. And we spoke earlier about Shearwater, Tortoise and David Bowie's Black Star. It's been quite a month for releases. What do you think, Andrew?
It has been a pure Tortoise month of releases.
Shut it! Yeah, it's been great. Like, I mean, actually, January is usually quite a quiet month, I suppose, but there's been quite a lot of hefty releases out. What's been floating your boat?
Well, yeah, you're right. Usually it's really dull until sort of mid-February when bands start hitting the road again, but I was just starting. It's really unusual. We're only a few weeks in, but I was talking to someone the other day and I already had a top five albums of the year.
Really?
Yeah, and it's going to be really hard to knock them off, and we've got 11 months left. So
what's on your list then so far?
Yeah, what's the top five of January, I guess, then? What would you recommend?
Number one is Black Star by Bowie, obviously.
Of course.
Just an immaculate record and the best thing he's done since Outside, which is very good as well.
Excellent.
Number two, Savages. That's a solid album. We'll talk about that.
Really good album.
Okay.
Really good album. Daughter. That's a very good album.
Excellent. I've not given it time yet, but I liked what I heard. First few tracks sounded great.
Yes, very emotional, very involved and deep album. Suede album's pretty good.
I misheard you there and thought you said Slade.
No,
Suede, okay.
So it's Suede in at number four. It's Suede in at number four and at number five.
Well, they're not out yet, but the School of Seven Bells album is a 10 out of 10.
Ooh.
Bloody hell, 10 out of 10. That's going to take some beating as the year goes on. Then.
It's a good job you're editor, because otherwise somebody would be liable to mark you down when you submitted it.
No, not having that.
That is quite a strong top five so far, and I know there are so many big releases coming out this year, so I'm not really sure what your end of year list is going to look like already.
Yeah, and the Policer album, I've heard that's really, really good.
Oh, amazing. Yeah, because
everyone seems to be going on about the Fat White Family album as well. Is that?
I've not actually heard that, but I've heard people who I trust telling me it's good. So.
Yeah, it seems like it's the year's kicked off in quite an impressive fashion, I think, which is quite strange. What are you looking for forward to for the rest of the year? Basically, are there a few albums that you're quite excited about?
The one that came out of nowhere, Iggy Pop and Josh Homme.
I saw that.
It's like someone has made an album just for me. Pretty ridiculous. I've heard two songs from it, and it sounds really Bowie-ish, which is quite nice.
Oh, wow. Great. Okay, bloody hell. But let's get back to Savages, because you have chosen Savages, The Answer. Mm. We're going to play that next. Now, I've not actually heard the album. Why have you chosen this as like something to talk about tonight?
Well, they've always been amazing, and if you've seen them live, you won't have a face left anymore. But I don't know, I think I did like them around the time of the first album, but I just thought they were a bit of a trendy, buzzy type band, because, you know, just on paper everything sounds perfect. The singer's French, they're quite political, they're insane live, whatnot.
Yeah.
And then I actually got involved in that album and I saw them. I heard something they did with Bone Ingan, and you could actually tell that they were doing it for all the right reasons. And then I interviewed them, and it was one of the most intense chats I've had in a long time.
Mm.
And just got to the bottom of how there's a very good reason behind everything they do, and nothing's really contrived. And you can tell that on this album, because it's still really intense and full on.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not just an angry album. There's quite a lot of love on there, which... it's really hard for a punk band to sound sentimental, but they manage it without it being corny or cheesy or anything.
Interesting, because I haven't listened to one, but I listened to this track, The Answer, today, and it's quite unforgiving, actually.
It is, but it was really, not in any kind of morbid way or anything, it was really well-timed, because obviously Jenny Beth is from France, the band spend a lot of time in France, and this came out just before the Paris attacks.
Right.
And we interviewed them around the time of the Paris attacks, and it is just the punk band angry, screaming, "Love is the answer." And they were just very firm, just like, nothing's going to stop them going on stage. Rock and roll always wins, is what they told me. And I was like, hell yeah. And that's what the album says, really.
Brilliant. And have you, because obviously, you know, gig-wise, you cover lots of new bands, albums and things like that. But when I'm looking at your feeds, you're always, always, always out, you're at a gig, out about interviewing people. Is there any gigs that stood out in January that have been quite enjoyable so far?
I haven't actually been to that many gigs, have I? Where the hell have I been doing?
Chilling.
All right, has been to good gigs. The only gig I went to was a bit of a guilty pleasure. Let me just check my brain.
What was your guilty pleasure?
I went to see Alien Ant Farm, supported by InMe.
Oh, that
sounds like an awesome gig.
2001 all over again. That's amazing. Actually, yeah, what a really good live.
Alien Ant Farm played Anthology in full as well. So.
Oh my God. That actually sounds quite amazing. Because now in hindsight, I've gone back to the album and it's like, you know, it's pretty decent.
It makes me happy because it reminds me of being happy.
They don't get the credit they deserve. That was a solid album, really bloody good songs. I think that people wrote them off as a parody band because this moved grim out. But it's a solid album. The band Papa Roach should have been.
Oof.
Oh, Papa Roach, yeah. Oof. Jeez, oh, that's some bad times back then as well.
But yeah, I remember when Alien Ant Farm sort of first hit the scene, and the guy, because they were kind of like, comical in the videos and everything. And at that time, because I was at first year uni or something, I was like, oh God, this is so not cool. But I'd go back home and I'd watch MTV and I'd be like, oh, I quite like this song. I like
cider helped with Alien Ant Farm. Shitloads of cider.
I would quite like to go see a band like Alien Ant Farm live. I think they'd be really fun. But yeah, I'd quite like to see Fall Out Boy and all those kind of shit bands as well, kind of thing. I'd quite up for sort of seeing a bit of nonsense.
Fall Out Boy, aren't you?
Sorry, Andrew, sorry. I wasn't there the first time around, but now... sort of, if I can listen back, I think, whatever, bring me the horizon.
Strokey beards type.
Yes, stroking my invisible beard. What are you looking forward to in February then? Any gigs lined up, Andrew?
Oh, God, loads. Daughter are touring, Savages are touring. I want to see, I don't know, Slipknot at Ali Pally. That's going to be fun.
Oh, yeah.
They're playing Alexander Palace.
Yeah,
apparently so. And also I saw you guys announce today that Deftones have made an announcement on their next album, and they're going to be touring over here as well, aren't they?
They're playing Wembley before Download, so that's going to be good.
That will be excellent. I think we're going to go to Download maybe this year.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe this will be the first time we've ever gone to Download this year.
It'll be the first time you've ever been to Download this year.
This year. It's late. Yeah, I'm hungry.
Deftones have just released 2 perfect albums, so hopefully they're still on a roll.
Yeah, because I loved both of the last 2 releases. I mean, I've always loved them anyway, but I thought the last 2 releases were unbelievable records. So I'm quite excited to see if they can continue that streak, because it seems improbable that they could continue that, because it's some of their best work, to be honest with you. But we shall see. I'm quite excited anyway. I always like a bit of Deftones, regardless of what they produce, really.
So, Andrew, this is our last live show, and then we're going to do a bunch of pre-recording stuff. So hopefully we'll get you in for one of those at some point. But if people want to go find out all about gig-wise, can you do all the PR bits and bobs? Where's your website? How do we get you on Twitter and all that kind of stuff?
Your website is just www.gigside. Try that again. The website is gigwise.com, and then just gigwise on Facebook and Twitter, you'll find it.
Great. And if you want to challenge Andrew on potato salad, then you can tweet Andrew himself. Where are you, Andrew?
At Andrew Trendle, TRENDELL. I challenge you to find a better potato salad than the one that Aldi sell, featuring creme fraiche.
And if Aldi are listening, we are quite happy to take on sponsorship if you want to send over your potato salad.
Seriously, guys, any of your Verst. If you can just send us a jar of a selected Verst, we'll be happy.
Oh, yeah, the Verst.
We will try the potato salad.
We will try the potato salad.
Yeah, just some random Eastern European products. It's always called something like gluten smack with like three A's.
I just really want to try it now that Andrew's compared it to almost like sound like a band. Potato salad featuring creme fraiche.
You could do quite a good lineup for there, because you could have the Red Hot Chili Peppers and bread.
And bread and cream.
Yeah, and cream.
Just cream, yeah. Anyway, God, let's stop this nonsense right now. Andrew, thank you so much for hopping on the phone and talking about some of January's releases. We are going to play Savage as the Answer, and hopefully we'll be speaking to you very soon.
A pleasure. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
No problem.
You too, man.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
It's A Badge of Friendship on Foobar Radio. I'm Claire Lim.
I'm Paul McCallum.
And I'm Edward Williams.
So that was Savages with the Answer, and we were speaking to Mr. Andrew Trendle from Gigwise, who very kindly joined us on the phone just to chat very quickly about January. So, Ed, you said that no big releases in January, but there's lots.
Yes, there are.
There are lots.
I still maintain that there has to be onion and a potato salad, though.
That's a fair point, but I have had potato salads without the onions.
Yeah.
And they're fine.
Yeah, they're fine. They're just not potato salad.
Creme fraiche and potatoes. Actually, we're it does all sound very, fucking all amazing. Now.
Can we stop talking about food?
Please.
For God's sake.
Basically, it's Burns Night. We're going to move off the January thing. It's Burns Night. So I don't know what this sounds like. We're going to do this.
Robert Burns is from my hometown.
Ayrshire.
Mm. Yeah, Ayrshire.
I used to go to the Robert Burns Centre because it was really close to where we lived.
Oh. You used to live in Alloway, though.
Yeah, I lived in Alloway, yeah.
It's not a big place.
So it isn't a very big place at all. You've got, like, Alloway, then you've got the top of the town where you shouldn't go. And then you've got the bottom of the town, then you've got Prestwick.
Ed has just actually described there. We are going to be talking very quickly about Scottish bands. So put this on in the background. Such a tune. Obviously, we're not going to be talking about Big Country, or we'll have them on in the background. There was lots of lists at the end of the year about Scottish bands we should look out for in 2016. So we're celebrating a little bit of Scotland at the end of the show. We're going to play a Scottish band next called Dialects with the track It's Not a Ghost, It's Gravity. They're from Glasgow, and they've been tipped for big things in 2016, but the track was released last year. And then after that, another band, Tongues, who are completely sonically different, the opposite of Dialects, much more sort of like alt pop kind of thing, and they're also from Glasgow as well. Lots of good bands from Glasgow. But there's lots of great Scottish bands to look out for. The Vantees are going to be doing more as well. And Womps have been doing very well for themselves. And also Bossy Love, I keep hearing.
I think we played them last year, didn't we?
Yeah.
On the show.
Yeah, and they were kind of like, and Forever as well. We've championed Forever.
Here
quite
are the
a lot.
Ones that I've picked out basically.
So who else have you picked out then?
Well, Forever and the Vantees were the two that I chose before this was out. Without us speaking, ladies and gents, see, great minds and
good taste.
Basically, the Vantees, for anyone who hasn't heard of them so far, then they released an EP that we were actually working on towards the tail end of last year. It did very, very well. Kind of almost surf rock, grungy, kind of 3-4 minute pop rock songs. Really good stuff, and kind of not dissimilar from Hines and Dilly Dally, who've managed to pick up some great press in the last sort of 12 months, and I think they're kind of following that lead to a certain extent. I just think they're really talented. It's a twin sister duo and a 4-piece band. They're led by those two, Chloe and Hannah Van Thompson, and we managed to get some really kind of good press for them, considering they're quite a small level at this point, and they obviously want to make the next step, and we managed to get things like Clash premieres, and they get picked up by Backseat Mafia and The Scotsman and BBC Radio Scotland and all that kind of stuff. And
I think big things for them this year.
Yeah, I think so. Obviously, it's going to be I think they've already recorded, or at least in the process of recording, a few more tracks now. And I think in around about springtime, I think they want to release another EP. So they're obviously maintaining that momentum and just trying to produce as much music as they possibly can, and keep that trajectory that they've managed to kind of set in motion going. So I think they will do very well. They've got a great sound.
I was thinking, because it's Burns Night, I've never been to a Burns Night before.
Really?
Yeah, like I've never been to
Had I known that, I'd have done one. Like, not now. Like earlier.
We've been to our own one, but I'm talking about, like...
Well, so you have then.
Yeah, but that was just like dinner with some haggis, right?
That's literally what Burns Night is.
But you know what? I wanted to read out some poetry and we never got around to that.
You know, that's what happens at every Burns Night. Somebody always says that they're going to do it.
And then
nobody
happens.
Does it. Yeah.
Yeah, I was a bit disappointed because I was thinking that'd be...
Yeah, welcome to Burns Night.
So we should maybe do that next year.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted the poetry. But we did Iron Brew lollies and stuff like that.
Yeah, made...
Oh my God, you can have real haggis now.
Yeah, I can have real haggis now.
Oh no, she didn't. I had to make two separate dishes, and there was quite a lot of people around as well, just for Claire.
It was great.
The veggie
one. What did you make? Kind of like a cottage pie.
I made a cottage pie. pie or shepherd's pie haggis with using haggis instead of mincemeat. It was lovely. I made I think whiskey flavored iron brew pops.
Nice.
But I thought the Burns Nights were all about the dancing.
No, that's just Kaylee.
Oh, that's just a Kaylee thing. All right, Kaylee.
Dancing may happen at a Burns Night, and there may be
the way that a fight might happen at an Irish party.
So, it's not a guarantee, shall we say?
It's quite racist.
Let's face it, the Scottish, we're not fucking far away from each other.
Yeah, that's true. Totally. But yeah, great. We didn't do it. It sort of creeps up Burns Night, and then you said today, you're like, oh, it's Burns Night, we should do something about that in the show. Cool, we'll just talk about some Scottish.
It's like Pancake Tuesday. That always catches me.
Oh, it was National Popcorn Day the other week.
That's not real.
And we missed that as well. That's such a shame. We wanted to do some poetry at the popcorn thing we were having, but you know, it just didn't go down particularly well.
But that's not a real thing.
Popcorn poetry. Popcorn beat poetry. What would that be all like?
I don't know.
You could do it to the beat of the popcorn.
I reckon it'd be quite chaotic.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm just amusing myself.
What do you do for the first couple of minutes when nothing's happening?
Basically, you just have to hold the silence and stare at the audience.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, totally.
You start beating around the bush.
Oh my god, you need to put popcorn beat poetry.
What? He just put some words together. You need to do some of that poetry.
Welcome to poetry, Paul. It is literally just putting some words together. To a beat.
Yeah. Here, you're putting some words together, mate. I don't like it.
That doesn't even fucking rhyme.
Here's dialects with It's Not a Ghost, It's Gravity.
Badge of Friendship on FUBAR Radio.
It's a Badge of Friendship on FUBAR Radio. I'm Claire Lim.
And I am Paul McCallum.
And I am Beaverman.
This is the last 15 minutes of our live show.
That was pretty swell, I must say.
And that Dialects track was brilliant.
Bloody good.
Please go check them out online. It's Dialects_UK on Twitter.
Really, really, really good band. That was pure Dialects, man.
It was pure Tortoise. And you guys agree, right?
No, I do agree. It was a weird thing to hear somebody say.
It's just quite funny.
It's pure Tortoise, man.
Burns Night is trending on Twitter.
Well, yeah, we need to get on that hashtag vibe.
It's trend. How can... It's trending,
because
though.
It's a big thing.
I think it's been trending all day, to be fair.
Yeah, it's a big thing.
It's like, imagine, it's like anything like...
33,000 tweets.
That's not that much in the grand scheme of things.
In the grand scheme of things.
There aren't that many people in Scotland.
In the grand scheme of things, it's not that many. We did a Burns Night in school once, and I had to recite Tia Moose.
Did you?
Yeah.
And there's actually picture evidence of that. I'm wearing a little tartan sash. It's on Facebook somewhere, actually.
Wee sleek it, timorous beastie.
Something in my breastie.
Yeah,
that's those are the only lines that I remember. Yeah, and I remember kind of like reading. I hated it, but now I'm like, no, I want to do it. Like, I'm quite up for it.
Our old headmaster used to do things for the Burns Night. He would recite them, and he'd like really properly like almost like acting it out, projecting, and it was. I mean, he was pretty. I mean, like you, almost when a bunch of teenagers or like 12, 13 year olds, pretty much just go silent. I think you probably know that you're doing a half decent job. To be perfectly honest
with
you.
What are the first lines?
Or you've just taken your trousers off.
Yeah. Not again, sir.
What are the first lines to Tia Moose? Like. I'm googling it.
Yeah.
Because it's annoying me, because I used to know that off by heart, actually. Tia a mouse translation. Oh, come on.
Well, to be fair, if you weren't from Scotland or had any Scottish family, it would just be like reading noise.
Yeah. Imagine an Hawaiian reading it for the first time.
Exactly.
That's it. Wee sleek it cowering timorous beastie. Oh, what a panic's in thy breastie. Those are just the two ones I used to remember.
How old were you when you read it?
12.
So you would have been doing it like this then.
Wee timorous
beastie.
No, I would not have been doing it like a 70-year-old Scottish woman that lives in the Highlands.
Or a 6-year-old. You know, they've got no control of their voices. They just, I've got words I need to say.
I used to love doing stuff like that. I like debating society. I debated the aliens. We had a weird debate thing that I debated the aliens.
Were there lots of you?
Aliens were God and God didn't exist.
Yeah, I wrote a short story which was essentially along the same lines.
And my English teacher was like, how is that so? And blah, blah, blah. And then I went into the different.
How
is that so? But she started to ask me all these like weird questions.
Translation, why?
So I came up with like how different races evolved within human society and all this kind of stuff. I mean, I really like went
and
to
what
town.
What did she
on
think?
It.
You're a blasphemous.
No, she was laughing.
So and so.
She was just laughing her ass off.
Yeah,
like.
I'd have got scalped for that.
And then there was the whole Blur versus Oasis. We debated that as
you
well.
You debated Blur versus Oasis.
Yeah.
I wasn't part of that debate because I was like, I don't want to be part of this. But there's a girl who's like, Damon's amazing. That was her whole argument. I was like,
Damon's a dilettante.
Oh, and then the other girl was like, Liam and Noel, great songwriters, or songwriter, Noel. Anyway, this is the last 10 minutes of the show.
We're going out on a high.
We are going to go on an 8-week break, as we mentioned, because some good stuff's happened.
Yep.
And we need to go away and just sign the contracts.
It happened, it signed the contracts. We need to move on, and we will never see any of you besties again.
That's not true. We'll still be here.
We'll be back quite soon, actually.
We'll be back in April.
And plus, we can't see you. It's a radio show.
It'll be a new format. Yeah,
the viewers.
The viewers. we're back in April with a new format because, some good stuff's happened. Some opportunities have opened up for us. And so we are going to...
Exploit them. Yep.
From April. I hope our opportunity type people aren't listening to that. But yes, we will.
Mm.
So we won't really be doing live shows anymore, but we'll come back with guests.
Mm-hmm. We might do.
Features.
Yeah.
We might
do the odd live show.
But I think initially we'll need to do it behind the scenes.
Behind the scenes.
First, in order to just kind
below
of
the radar.
our feet, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
It'll all be fine. I mean, we're making it sound more than it is, but it's we'll be back.
Yeah, we'll be back.
And there'll still be music.
And it'll be fun.
And guests.
And in the meantime, we are going to have 8 repeats on the next 8 weeks.
Really?
8 repeats in 8 weeks. We've done so many great shows in the last year. So, I mean, think of all the guests we've had. Andrew WK, Imagine Unitary, Jay Rachel, Andrew Trentall. 3,000 times. And Charlotte from The Live Misfit, 300,000 times as well. And then we've had Venart with Paul's birthday special. So, you know, it's been really, really good. I can't believe we've made it to 41 episodes. And we've never really taken a break, only once or twice.
Yeah.
Actually, which has been really good.
We've done very well.
We haven't actually had a consecutive break, really, except this Christmas, kind of, because, well, but we did had the pre-record, so it didn't really count. But yeah, this is...
And we stuffed them in just before Christmas, so we literally did like 2 or 3 before we actually even hit Christmas. So, and it was quite a busy time. So it's been surprisingly enjoyable.
Yeah, Paul's enjoyed something. I really liked the Andrew WK episodes.
He was so nice. He was surprisingly nice.
Either nice or completely bonkers.
He made me want to be a better person.
Mm. Yeah, well, he did make me kind of go, "Oh my god!" But afterwards, we were like, that wasn't him.
He made me want to feel like that without the use of drugs.
He is just stupidly, stupidly positive. I really enjoyed that conspiracy theory show, and we should do it again at some other point.
Oh yeah, totally. We should.
Maybe we already have.
Yeah.
Because I want to explore the fact that Michael Jackson's definitely alive.
Okay.
He's definitely alive. I mean, you can see him at his 49th birthday on YouTube.
You can.
So, oh shit, it was on YouTube?
Yeah.
Oh fucking hell, stop. Stop the show.
It was on YouTube, so you know that shit's real, basically, Ed. But yeah, no, it's been really good. But we'll be back in April. In the meantime, you can still find us at where on Twitter, Paul?
You can find us. Well, you can find FUBAR Radio at FUBAR Radio. You can also find A Badge of Friendship at ABOF. And you can find me at Sir Beardy Pants and Claire.
I'm Wee Claire. Not I am Wee Claire. I'm just Wee Claire on Twitter.
And Ed.
I am Beaverman. Sorry, I'm slightly thrown at Lamb of God, Anthrax, and Deaf Heaven are playing in New York City tonight.
Wow. That's quite a lineup.
We should probably just go there. Fucking hell, that sounds amazing.
That's wow.
But yes, I am Beaverman.
And yeah, if you want to keep emailing us songs in the meantime, because FUBAR Radio forward them on to us.
No, they don't.
They do. They did the other week. We get some good tracks through sometimes from FUBAR, so please email abof@fubarradio.com, or you can go to our website, which is abadgeoffriendship.com/contact. Please do not send us naked MP3s, because it is just a cardinal sin. It's stupid. You have to stop doing it. I'm really sick of people doing that. But please send us SoundCloud and Bandcamp.
But we still love you for even thinking of us in the first place.
We also probably won't come to your gig. We might come for a drink if you invite us out nicely, but which is at a gig. But we don't review gigs. When have you ever heard us talking about reviewing gigs? We haven't.
Yeah, and unfortunately, we can't really help review your album.
Yeah, we're not
we could help get reviews for your album, but we ourselves cannot review your album.
I mean, I definitely can't. If you pay these guys, they can help you.
I'm sure if you paid Ed could help you.
I'd put you in contact with these guys.
So yeah, this is like the last 30 seconds. Oh, it's going to be sad not doing a live show, but we're very excited to come back in April. We're going to play another band next. This is Tongues from Glasgow with a track called Religion. This was released as a single last year and it's on iTunes right now. They were on Vic Galloway's One Torch, another Scottish band to end the Burns Night vibe. If you're having Burns Night tonight, have a good one. If you're doing something this weekend, have a good one too. But please go check foodbarradio.com for all of our repeats, all our shows in the Vinyl District as well. You can check us out there. Thank you very much for listening for 41 episodes. We will be back in a couple of months' time with new stuff and exciting things,
which will still just be episode 42.
Take care, everyone. Bye bye. It's just real. It's just real.
Darkness is slowly drowned.